Just a few months out of college, Holly Payne had her professional life ahead of her. She was planning to head to Europe to teach English as a second language and was spending a few months in Colorado before leaving. But in June of 1996, while stopped to help a pair of bicyclists, she was struck by a drunk driver and seriously injured and left unable to walk for a year. The man who hit her and the bicyclist wrote her a letter asking for forgiveness. The incident and that letter helped provide the basis for a novel she wrote titled Kingdom of Simplicity. She used Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, where she grew up, as the setting for the book. The novel is centered around a young Amish man haunted by a drunk driver who took the lives of family members. The issue of forgiveness is featured prominently in the book. While she was writing the novel, another tragedy happened when a gunman shot 10 students at an Amish school in Lancaster County, killing five. The Amish community's approach to forgiveness in the matter attracted national attention. This weekend, Holly Payne was in Fayetteville to discuss her book. Although weather delayed her arrival a bit, I was still able to reach her by phone to talk to her about Kingdom of Simplicity. She wrote other books in between the time of the accident and the publication of Kingdom of Simplicity, and I asked her at what point she knew she wanted to write a book that incorporated forgiveness as a theme.
I think at the time of the accident, when after I was struck by this drunk driver, I did not even think, I don't think the word forgiveness even entered the radar, if there was a radar back then. And that's kind of the irony of this whole journey. I think that just as a storyteller, often, you know, we're called to tell these stories. And sometimes when I think about the story that I know that is going to be the next novel, I'm not always exactly psyched about it because I think, oh, no, really? That's the topic I have to explore? And you have to approach it and really... You have to be as authentic in that theme and really understand why it is that you're being called to write about that. So for me, it was pretty obvious, except that's not exactly how I thought I was going to start the book, and that wasn't the very reason for writing it in the first place. I mean in terms of the initial idea, story idea, and that story idea, although the theme of that as well, which was going to be a story about a domestic abuse story that takes place in an Amish country, I had no idea that no matter what story I was really, the assembly of the plot, all of it thematically was still going to come back to forgiveness. So I couldn't get away from it if I tried. So I think it was there all along. And after June 6, 1994, I think if somebody had told me that I would have to forgive to heal, I definitely would not have believed them. And I was so wrong to ignore that, because little did I know it would take me a long, long time to kind of wrap my head around what forgiveness meant and how I would be able to incorporate it into my life. And so kind of in a roundabout way, I incorporated it, I think probably more unconsciously, into a story. And I think that's how art serves, you know, so many of us. And we don't know exactly why we're doing it until maybe we're in the midst of it and we realize, oh my gosh, this is it. I can't escape from this. It's going to stare me right in the face. So... It's a long way to answer your question, but it's a great question, and I never thought in a million years that I would have to create a character in the story. I don't want to give away any plot things, but I had no idea that the character that is the driver in the story essentially was my way of connecting with the real person that struck me. And that was probably the most profound experience I had working on this story. And I really needed, from what I understood and learned about forgiveness, so much of it is about letting go of anger. And I wouldn't ever really be free of this person and this event until I really could love it. You know, you can't really leave things or people, ironically, until you really love them, because if you have that hatred and anger there, that's what's going to bind you to them. So they're never going to be really out of your life. You can move a bazillion miles away from the event or the person, but it's still in your life, you know. And that's what I had to stop and face. And so, thankfully, I got to do it through storytelling and the creation of these characters and getting to know kind of the heart of this driver so that I could really humanize him and I could realize that he also had a side to the story and that he also suffered and he also had pain. And part of his healing would have probably happened a lot faster if I would have been able to give him what he needed at the time, which was forgiveness. And he had written a letter to me 6 months after the accident, but I was really unable to read it and glean any authentic remorse, and yet that's all he was expressing. And it took me 3 times to read the letter over the course of 12 years, and finally, finally I got it, and I knew that it was time, that just writing the story wasn't enough. I need to actually write him a letter as well.
Was writing the fiction or writing the letter back, was it ever as, is it too simplistic to say this was cathartic?
No, it's not simplistic at all. I think that was the whole point. And when I had talked just a moment ago about how this person, if, you know, to me, the inability to forgive, how it shows up is that person's still in your life. You know, they're there, and when you think of them, you feel them in your body. You know, there would be a tightness in my stomach, in my heart, and I could feel a surge. You know, it was kind of like, oh, you know. And I would handle him and comments about him with sarcasm just because I wanted to deflect anybody's concern. I didn't want people to think that he really had affected me in any way. You know, I mean, there's metal plate in my legs and took me a while to walk again, but I didn't want people to look at me and say, this really deterred me, you know. So in writing a letter and working through the, you know, the process, it was absolutely cathartic. And now when I speak about him, it's just, if I were to meet him right now, I could just meet him, and it would be probably a little bit odd, but it's been so many years, and it took me so long. I had to go to a lot of places emotionally to finally release a lot of this, and a lot of places physically too, because when you suffer something like that, often there's a lot of post-traumatic stress that still kind of remains in the body, and that's come to haunt me a lot over the years. But I'm doing everything I can even now to rid myself of that. But I know my connection with him and is clear, you know. And there is a moment, I think, when somebody has been betrayed by another person, you can make that decision that I want to forgive. Now, it doesn't mean it happens. It just means that you're willing, and the willingness is that first step, and there's no one right way to get there. You know, it can take people years. I mean, I'm embarrassed to say it took me 15 years to look back and, you know, finally answer a letter that had been sent to me, and it wasn't like I was 10 years old when I received it. You know, I was 22 years old, so, you know, you'd think I would have been able to face it a little bit sooner, but, you know, catharsis isn't convenient or overnight, right?
Right. Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I was wondering what if there was a space between knowing you wanted to reach forgiveness, but when you reached there, and were you ever, I don't know, impatient with yourself or upset with yourself that you hadn't reached forgiveness yet?
Oh yeah, I'm still impatient with myself, because even though I've forgiven a drunk driver that took away my ability to walk for quite some time, I still grapple with issues of forgiveness, even with my own family. And we used to joke around that, you know, forgiveness is the other F word. and it's so true. I mean, I think it's one of those things that we can, you know, none of us can ever say that we haven't faced an issue of forgiveness in our lives. And I think our society and our culture, we're not a forgiving culture. And I think also some of the things that have been confused with the public and the way that the Amish community where I grew up in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, the way they handled that school shooting in 2006, which was right in the midst of writing this book, They assumed that forgiveness is a substitute for feeling the emotions and going through the grieving. And I can assure you that community is still deeply, deeply affected and wounded by that tragedy. But very wisely, what they've learned through their own culture and history is that it doesn't serve anybody to hold on to the past. I mean, you have, unless you're magical and you can go back in time and change things, you have no control over that moment. It happened. And you have to move on with your life. And it doesn't mean that you have to chin up and don't feel the pain. You have to be able to feel the pain too. You know, it's like we need to move on, but we also need to grieve. And I think people forget that. And so this process, you know, it can be tiresome, because when you think you've made three steps forward, something will come up and you realize I'm still being triggered. Why am I still being triggered? And for me, gratefully, it doesn't happen anymore with him. But like I said, you know, with other people, not too many, but we always have, there's always one or two that, you know, that there's a challenging relationship in our lives. And there is a need, you know, to just have an open heart and just let go, you know, let go of these past grievances, because ultimately when you're angry at somebody, it doesn't, just because you're angry at them, it doesn't punish them to be angry. It actually ends up punishing yourself. And, you know, I laugh about this, but I know how painful it is for people, you know, to go through it. And I experienced it myself. I still do that frustration, but I laugh not in a mocking way. I'm laughing kind of at the absurdity of the human condition, that we get in our way, you know, so many times. It could be, we can make it so much easier on ourselves, but for some reason, we just carry a few extra bags that don't fit into the overhead bin, you know?
Yeah. I would like to ask about, and I should mention, I'm talking with Holly Payne, author of Kingdom of Simplicity, as well as other books. This book is fiction, but it's set in a place where you grew up, Lancaster. And what's the proper pronunciation?
Lancaster.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Also, it deals with forgiveness, and it's known that you have dealt with forgiveness. When you talk about this book, even though it is obviously fiction, and then there is the shooting that took place as you were completing the book, do sometimes people have a hard time, I don't know, not differentiating, but you're so identifiable, your life can be so identifiable with the book. Has that ever presented a problem or frustration for you?
No, you know, I think if anything, it was kind of a relief for the first time writing something that I could say, you know, I could actually point it to an event in my life. I, as a novelist, I actually really believe that fiction is just another way of expressing the truth. It's really steeped in absolute truth, and, you know, the amount of research that goes into creating a world and kind of rendering it authentic is the same that you'd have to do if you're writing nonfiction. The only thing that's different is that the characters, obviously, that you're creating, they weren't actual people. But they have to have some kind of real human makeup. You know, their dimension and texture has to be so real that when people are talking about these characters, it's as if they really lived. And so that's where kind of the fiction and real life merged, because I was able to kind of fuse all of my emotional adventures, I should say. Maybe that's the lighthearted way of saying it. After getting or surviving a drunk driver, I put that kind of into the character of Eli Yoder, who is the protagonist, and he's a 16-year-old Amish kid who, at the age of 16, is, you know, doesn't feel that he's worthy of becoming part of the community that he absolutely loves, and it's because of his inability to forgive.
Did you know when you started writing where the book would end?
I did, actually. I didn't know the exact word. Sometimes I'll have a sentence that'll come to me. It kind of floats in. It's like playing a Tetris game, and I know that shape, and I know the tone, and it's a lot like music, and I'll write my way to that closure, that chord. And I did know. I did know how the book was going to end. At first, I didn't think at all that this kid, Eli, was actually going to face the driver who has killed his sisters. I didn't think that was even necessary, because I thought, what if I never meet the driver? Is it necessary for me to meet the person to forgive them? Because there are a lot of people that have passed on that we still need to work on, you know, have forgiveness toward. And I am so grateful that I was able to wait till I knew what the ending was, because there were things that needed to happen for this. The big question wasn't if Eli could forgive himself. It was, the question was, could the driver forgive himself? And that is where it loops back into my life, because I don't know to this day if this driver has forgiven himself. I hope he has, but I have a feeling that even though I sent him a letter 2 years ago when the book was first published, and I, you know, I basically quoted from his letter in 1995, and I said, I waited all this time to finally contact you, but I've written this book. I've dedicated it to you. It was my way of forgiving you, and I hope that this letter allows us to kind of move on from any pain and shame that you know, still remains between us. And I didn't hear from him. So
you do not know for sure if he's read the book nor the letter, for sure.
I don't. I have a feeling he read the letter. I just know. Sometimes you just know. You know, it's this uncanny feeling. And I do know I've made contact with him. I mean, I know that on my, like, in my heart and in my gut. And I don't feel the need. That's the other part of forgiveness. In writing this letter and writing this book, that was what I was giving away. You know, I was sharing the story, but I was also giving away this pain. I don't want to carry it around anymore, you know. I didn't want to be angry on the inside when everybody, what they saw on the outside was this big smile and I'm being so positive. But what I really was doing is I was ignoring this person as a way to punish them, you know.
Right.
And, you know, denying a request from them, a simple request that really could have changed probably both of our lives earlier. And it could have maybe moved us toward complete healing a lot sooner. But like I said, we have a funny way of getting in our own way, don't we?
Yes, we do. Holly Payne is the author of Kingdom of Simplicity, also The Virgin's Knot. You can read more about the book at kingdomofsimplicity.com. Holly Payne, thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you.